The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Cast your mind back 10 years ago to the fall of 2008. The campaign debates between John McCain and Barack Obama are going on.
The Dow tumbled more than 500 points.
And in the headlines, it seemed that life in America was hanging in the balance.
We saw financial market turmoil reach a new level last week and spilled over into the rest of the economy. We must now take further decisive action to fundamentally and comprehensively address...
I had covered the Iraq War. I spent a year in Baghdad. I would say in many ways that week felt scarier. And then I'd go out and everyone's just going shopping, walking down the street. Nobody has any idea that their fundamental way of life is really hanging by a thread.
Adam Davidson is now a staff writer at The New Yorker, but during the housing crisis and the market crash of 2008, he was the co-host of NPR's show Planet Money. He recently revisited that critical, terrifying, decisive moment with Hank Paulson. Paulson then was Treasury Secretary under George Bush.
For you and I, we lived in that crisis second by second, and it's seared in our brains, I think. You know, that week of September 15th, you could, you know, what was happening Thursday at 3, and I could probably tell you.
And as everything was collapsing, it was Paulson's job, basically, to save the world.
I describe it sometimes. The week that Lehman went down and we had to step in and prevent a very disastrous failure of AIG from happening, and if we'd had one more institution go down, we would have been looking, you know, into something I think that could have rivaled or exceeded the Great Depression. You know, didn't have time to be afraid during the day, but at night when I would wake up, I was looking into the abyss because the system was so concentrated that if the system had collapsed, it was hard to figure out how you'd ever put it back together again.
Now, if you look at the business pages of the newspaper, you'd think that the crash of 2008 was, I don't know, the Peloponnesian War, ancient history. Economic growth has been strong for years, and we've been adding an impressive number of jobs by anyone's estimation, but 2008 still shapes our world right now in the most profound ways. And in two ways specifically. One is the rise of right-wing populism that brought us Donald Trump. And the other, which might surprise you a little more, is the melting ice caps and the hotter planet, the problem of climate change. We're going to spend this hour exploring how that crash is affecting our lives and how it will continue to affect our lives for a very long time to come. Not long ago, Hank Paulson wrote, looking back at the dark days of the financial crisis in 2008, it's easy to see the similarities between the financial crisis and the climate challenge that we now face. In other words, Paulson sees a profound connection between the markets and climate policies. And after leaving government, he founded a think tank to promote sustainability. Here again is Hank Paulson talking with Adam Davidson.
Can you walk me through why you see so many parallels between the financial crisis of 2007, 2008, and what's going on with our climate?
First of all, I think climate change really poses a huge environmental risk, of course, a huge risk to our ecosystem, the way we live and work. But ultimately, there are big economic risks, very big economic risks. So that's number one. Number two, when you look at the trigger, it's debt in the case of the financial crisis, and it is carbon dioxide, which is in the atmosphere and is growing all the time, that is the going to be the trigger for the climate change risk. They're both created by flawed government policies. Both of these risks tend to hit the most vulnerable the hardest. They place the biggest burden on those with lower incomes, and each of these economic disasters also hit the government hard in terms of fiscal costs, and it's ultimately borne by the taxpayer.
So it's well known that any kind of financial market can have a tendency towards what the great economist Raghuram Rajan at University of Chicago, former central bank head in India, calls prepayment for risk, that you can take big risks, reap the rewards today, and pay the cost in some distant, uncertain future. And to me, that is a way to think about this, that sure, I know in some vague way there might be a cost to pay down the road, but boy, it sure is fun today.
Yes. Congress deals best. Government deals best when there's an immediate crisis. They can see it. So they deal better with short-term rather than long-term events, and better if it's national as opposed to whether it's global or international. That's what makes this climate risk so different from the one we suffered and so much more perverse. When there's a financial crisis, as bad as it is, the government can come in again and clean it up, get rid of the bad debt, right? Carbon dioxide, it's up there. It's essentially up there forever. It's cumulative. And so it doesn't happen immediately. It slowly strangles you. But I really need to point out, we know that there's going to be sea rise. We know there's going to be more storms. We know there are going to be these climate events and these droughts and these forest fires. Now, you don't know when they're going to hit or where they're going to hit, but they are going to hit. And so here it is just extremely important that we take the steps we need to take to adapt and make our economy more resilient and protect our economic security.
Now, Adam, here you have Paulson comparing the debt bubble to the accumulation of carbon dioxide in the environment. Is that a stretch? Is that a good metaphor?
I was surprised when I first read about Paulson's comparison. And then as I thought about it, I thought, well, wow, yeah, there are some very clear similarities. Very important differences, too, which we can get to. But there is this well-documented in the economic literature, psychological literature, this well-documented human pattern of grabbing a benefit today and ignoring or underplaying the great risks down the road. And much like our financial system, our environment really is a product, especially in a modern global industrial economy. It is a product of a whole lot of individual choices and a whole lot of government choices, often made by politicians who themselves have incentives to take advantage of short-term benefits, even if it means long-term costs. And going back to the great game theorist Thomas Schelling, Nobel Prize-winning game theorist, and others, this is a very tough problem to solve. It's very hard to get a large group of people who are having a great time today, even if every one of those people knows that there's a very good chance that tomorrow or 10 years from now, there will be a huge bill to pay.
And having a great time in this case, the comparison is between having a great time spewing carbon monoxide into the air and flying and riding around in cars and using our air conditioners, and at the same time, buying houses on the cheap.
Exactly. I'm planning a trip with my family to Costa Rica. You know, things that feel like good things. These aren't things I should be ashamed of. I'm not profligate. But collectively, they do make us profligate.
Now, you asked Paulson about risk and the idea of getting paid in advance for a risk that might come due later. Is that what the financial markets are supposed to do by nature?
So the thing you want is a very strong but solid regulator. You want financial markets that are properly regulated for exactly these reasons. We know that markets can tend towards instability, towards concentration of risk. And you know, to put it mildly, that was not what the SEC and other regulators were doing leading up to the housing bubble, and it's not what they're doing right now.